The Gemara here on the bottom of Daf Chavav Amud Beis. We've already done the Mishnah. Omer Rabbi Lazar wants to comment on the Reish of our Mishnah, the case of most that are found in front of the Shulchani. And we said that if they're on the counter, we assume that those most were placed there by one of the clients, and therefore Hare Elu Shalo. If somebody finds it there, then he can take it. And that's what Rabbi Lazar wants to emphasize. Afilu munachim al gabei ha-shulchan. Don't think, says Rabbi Lazar, that this din only applies if he finds mos on the karka, in that area where the clients come to change their money, but even if he finds them on the shulchan, and you might assume that it doesn't belong to the clients who are coming to change their money, but rather it belongs to the Shulchani himself, the money changer, Kamash Malan, Rabbi Lazar wants to say, no, the Mishnah for sure is talking about mos that were found on the Shulchan, and nevertheless, even though the possibility exists that the money changer didn't take these mos, he left them there inadvertently, and therefore you'd have to return it to him, Kamash Malan, Harelu Shalo. Now, why is it Harelu Shalo? Taka, why aren't we chayav to announce that we found these mos? Maybe the Shulchani himself will prove that it's his. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi seems to imply that we're talking about a case of a davar she'ein bo simon. In other words, these mos were not tied up in any sort of a bundle. So let's take a look at the Rashi inside. It would be about five lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Near Vienai, Delo Garcin and Srorin. Apparently there was a girsa that we're talking about mos that were tied up in a bundle. In fact, if you look at Tosus on the bottom, the last Tosus here on the Amud, Tosus has the girsa filu Srorin, Virashi lo garis Srorin. The implication is, according to Rashi, surely if there was a simon on these coins, then we would be chayv in achroza. Tosus writes, you can accept the gears of afilu tzrorin. But rather, we're talking about a city that's mostly populated by goyim, by akum, and therefore hareilu shalo, even in a case where you have a simon. And we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in the case of Rov Akum. We're not going to go as far necessarily in Rov Yisrael, but at least in the case of Rov Akum, and we discussed on many occasions why there's an automatic assumption of Yeush in Rov Akum, even in a Dover that would impact even on a Dover Sheyesh Bo Simon, even if the Mos were Tzrorim. The Shita Mekubetz is the name of Rabbeinu Yohonasan, one of the Rishonim, justifies the Girs of Tzrorin, and he says that even though it's Tzrorin or Tzrorim, nevertheless it's considered Davar She'ein Bo Simon, because most people, when they go to the Shulchani, it's not the usual practice, the usual custom to tie up the mos in a special kind of a knot. You know, there were classical kinds of little pouches that people brought, and that would not serve as a simon. Again, the only problem that we have is minyan, because we paskined earlier in this parak that minyan avi simon. So let the person tell you how many mos what tzrurim here. And that itself would be a simon. And perhaps that's why Rashi rejects this girs of tzrurim, because if so, then even if you'll tell me the kesher is not a simon, but chodsh at least, the minyan would be a simon. Please note Rashi, four lines up from the bottom of the Amud Lifnei, and he's commenting on the language of the Mishnah. It says that the mos were found Lifnei HaShulchani. Rashi says, Mashmal Gabi Karka. The straightforward pshat in Lifnei would be that it was on the ground. And if it's on the ground, then anyone could come and take it. And if not for Rabbi Lazar, we would say that that's the case that we're dealing with. And in general, let's point out that the Shulchani really is a little bit out of the picture. Why is he out of the picture in this case. And that's where the Mishnah, as we saw yesterday, makes this contrast between Lifnei and Bein Akisei v'Lashulchani. Meaning, the premise of the Mishnah is that if the Mos had fallen from the Shulchani, then it would have fallen between him and the Kisei. Right? The Kisei is in a sense the location, the exact location of the Shulchani. He's sitting on this Kisei, and there's a Shulchan in front of him. Anything that he would drop would likely fall between him and the Kisei. Here, on the other hand, in the Reisha of this Sefer, where were the Mos found? They were found Lifnei HaShulchan. Lifnei HaShulchan means that this is the Shulchan that separates between the Shulchan who's behind the Shulchan and the people, the clients who come to change their money in front of the Shulchan. So if you find it on the Karka between the Boim, between the clients and the Shulchan, then clearly it came from one of the clients. If you find it on the other side of the Shulchan, meaning on the side that faces the Shulchani, which is called Bein HaKisei LaShulchani, then presumably it was dropped there by the Shulchani, would have to return it to him. If it's Lifnei HaShulchani, then we don't know who dropped it there amongst the many, many myriads of clients who come to change money. And the premise is going to be that there's Yeush on the part of the person who lost those Mos. Again, according to Rashi, there's Yeush because there's no Simon. According to Tosfos and the Shita, even if there is a Simon, it's an Ir Sheruba Akum. Or, for example, the Tzrorin means it's not tied in a unique way. And if you'll ask, why not assume that Minyan should be a Simon, that becomes an open question. Tanan, now the Gemara wants to analyze the language of the Mishnah in the light of Rabbi Loza's interpretation of the Mishnah. It says, Lifnei HaShulchani Areilu Shalo, and we saw already in Rashi that the word Lifnei implies that it was on the Karka, and therefore the assumption of our Mishnah of Areilu Shalo of Yeush is in a case where you find it on the Karka. It doesn't say in the Mishnah Al HaShulchan, it says Lifnei Shulchani, which implies on the Karka. Had it been found the way Rabbi Loza had it on Munach al Gabi Shulchan, it would have said not Lifnei HaShulchan, but rather Al HaShulchan. Ha al Gabi HaShulchan. The implication is that had you found the most on top of the Shulchan, then Dishulchanihem. Interesting. The Gemara assumes now that you'd have to return it to the Shulchani. And why is that so? Because the people who come to change their money, they leave the money on the Shulchan, on this counter. And presumably, the Shulchani forgot these Mos. He didn't seize them. He didn't possess them. So the Gemara says, but Ema Seifa. If we look in the Seifa of the Mishnah, Bein Akisei v'Shulchani, Shel Shulchani, when do we return it to the Shulchani and assume it fell from him? That's only because it was closer to the body of the Shulchani. The precise location of the Shulchani is on the Kisei. And there's that space that we discussed before between the Shulchani on the Kisei and the Shulchan. If it's in that area, right immediately below the Shulchani, meaning the seat of the Shulchani, then we return to the Shulchani. The implication is Ha'al Gabi Shulchan, had we found these Mos on the counter itself, is Shalom. The Shulchani would have no right to claim ownership over these Mos, or alternatively, we should not assume that he was the one who lost it, and therefore the finder keeps it. And that would support Rabbi Lazar. So in the Mishnah itself, we have Diyukim Sostrim. And therefore, since we have a contradiction from the Reish to the Sefer, Mihal Lekel Mishmei Mino, we don't have any logical proof to come to any definite conclusion. And now the Gemara clarifies Rabbi Loza. So if there's no conclusion for the Mishnah, Ha Minole, How did he know to assume that even if the mos were found on the counter itself, nevertheless you can keep them? Amar Rava Masnisin Kishise. Rabbi Loz had a problem in explaining the Mishnah. What was his difficulty? My Irya Dutani Ben Kise Lashulchani. Why did the Mishnah, in the case of the Sefer of this part of the Mishnah, mention that the mos were found between the seat of the Shulchani and the Shulchani? Shel Shulchani Lisni. I'm sorry, Shel Shulchani, right? Ben Kisil Shulchani, Shel Shulchani. We return to the Shulchani. Lisne, the Mishnah should have said, Al Shulchan. It should have said that we found the mos on the table, and we still return them to the Shulchani. Inami, or alternatively, it should have said, Matzah Bishulchanos. We found it on the tables, meaning the tables of the Shulchani. Kiliktoni Reisha, and that would parallel the Reisha where it says Motzah Bechanus Ishalo Elashma Mina Afilu Munachim Al Gabi Ashulchan Hare Elu Shalo. So again, from the fact that the Mishnah emphasized that why does the finder keep it? It's because it was Bein Hakisei LaShulchani, implying that had it been on the Shulchan, the Mishnah could have told me a greater Chiddush, that even if it was on the Shulchan, you could still keep it. The answer is, if it's on the Shulchan, you cannot keep it. Alternatively, the Mishnah could have written, Lifnei Shulchani Hare Elu Shalo. I'm sorry, instead of, what I meant to say is, instead of Lifnei Shulchani Hare Elu Shalo, the Mishnah could have said, Matzah b'shulchanos, which would be not only shorter, but also more precise. That even though you found the mos on the shulchanos, which is like the chanus of the shulchani, nevertheless, it's arel shalo. The answer is that the Mishnah deliberately avoided shulchanos, because enochinami, in the case of shulchanos, I apologize, I just want to rewind here and correct what I said. The problem that Rabbi Loza was raising here is that if one would assume that, when is it Ariel Shalo? When do we assume it came from one of the clients of the money change? That's if you find it on Karka. But if you find it on the Shulchan, then you'd have to return it to the Shulchan. He comes to Rabbi Loza and he says, if that be the case, and here's his first diuk, why does the Mishnah use the term Bein Akisei L'Shulchani in the Sefer to tell you then we return it to the Shulchani? Tell me a bigger Chiddush, that even if it's on the counter, we return it to the Shulchani. The answer is, says Rabbi Loz, because if we find it on the counter, and even if we find it on the counter, it's Harei L'Shalo. Meaning, we assume it belongs to one of the clients, not only if we find it on the karka in front of the shulchan, but even if we find it on top of the shulchan itself. And that's why, that answers the question why the Mishnah used the term Bein Akisei L'Shulchani in this sefer to tell you then we return to the shulchani, but had it been on the shulchan, then Enochinami, we would have to say Arei L'Shalo, that it can belong to it was lost by one of the clients, and anyone who picks it up can keep it. And in the second diuk, Rabbi Loza says it should have said in the Mishnah Matzah b'shulchanos. In other words, if the Mishnah wanted to tell me that finders keepers, even if you found it on the that finders keepers only if you found it on the karka. If that, again, that's we're arguing against the bar plukta, the phantom bar plukta, Rabbi Loza. If the harel shalo is contingent on the fact that you found it in the area, but not on the shulchan itself, then it would have said shulchanos, and that would have paralleled what we saw in the chanus. When is it yours? That's only if you find it in the chanus, meaning in the store area. But if you find it between teva and the chenvani, that's already closer to the chenvani himself. Then you have to return it to the chenvani. Here also, you should have said that if you find it in the general area, which is called shulchanos, then it's Harel Shalom. But had you found it on the Shulchan, you'd have to return it to the Shulchani. The fact that the Mishnah in the Sefer does not parallel the language of the Mishnah in the Reisha, but rather it says that he found it. Let's just read the language of the Mishnah again. Lifnei HaShulchani. Lifnei HaShulchani means not in the general area, but even on the Shulchan itself. That's the implication of Lifnei HaShulchani Arel Shalom, and that gives us Rav Loza's conclusion that even if you find the Mos on top of the Shulchan, nevertheless you could still keep it. And the logic is that, again, if it had fallen from the Shulchani, it would have fallen between him, that means his Kisei, and the Shulchan that's Munach Befanah. Then the Mishnah said that if you buy fruits, and the fruits are sent to you, you know, delivery service, and you find most that fell into these fruits, is Hare El Shalo. Im Hayu Tzurin, if on the other hand they were bound up together in such a way that there is a Simon, if they were Tzurin, then Notel Umachris. Amrei Shlokish Mishum Rav Yanai, Lo Shanu Ella. Now we're going to go on to Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. When do we say that in the Mishnah's frame of reference, the recipient of the peros who purchased the peros can keep even most that he finds mixed up in these peros? That's Ella. That's only Bilokech Min Hatagor. There's a professional retailer. He's selling fruits and shipping them out to many, many different buyers. And therefore, we can never know exactly who originally owned these fruits. You know, the middleman here just passes on the fruits as he gets them. You know, they're already boxed. They're already been placed in containers and so forth. So there's no way we can know who's the original owner that might have put, or into which, from whom the mos fell into this box. And again, there's no simon in the mos, in the ratio of the Sefer. Avo blokech vibala bayis. If, let's say, a private person sends you fruits as a gift, you know, he sends you mishloch monos, it's chayv lahachzi, you have to give it back to the bala bayis. Because you know for sure that these mos, together with the fruits, fell from this bala bayis, and therefore you have to return it to its rightful owner. V'chein tona tana dekami de Rav Nachman, one of the Chachamim taught or transmitted a brisa in the presence or to Rav Nachman, and in the brisa it said, "Lo shanu elu v'lokeach min atagra v'lokeach v'balabayis chayov lahachsi." And from Rashi, Dibra Maschil b'lokeach, which you'll see here on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Sha'af hu lokach tvu azumi anoshim ha'arbe v'lo yediyab d'man ninu v'kem into lesbe yusimon nisyashu ha'baylet. Now, it would seem from Rashi that if this tagor purchased from one particular balabayis, then he, the tagor, this middleman, would be believed to say that he bought it from so-and-so, identifying that person, and then we know the most belonged to that person, would be exactly like the balabayis. And you'd have to return it to that person if he claims that it's his. And the Ran actually supports this. He writes, Eid Echad Nemed Vashova Saveda. We can trust the Tagor to say, I know who would have lost, who would have dropped these mos. And one witness is believed. But again, it's got to be conditioned on the fact that that witness has no vested interest here. He's not benefiting from it. There's no kshasheker because he's doing it on behalf of someone else. So the middleman here, the so-called tagor, is telling you meaning Levi, that these mos fell together with the peros of Reuven, and therefore they belong to Reuven. However, the Shita Mekubetzes here writes that in any event, even if the tagor testifies that he purchased these fruits from so-and-so, we call them Reuven, he's not believed. The special, unique credibility that's given to an Eid Echad in Dini Mamonis is only in a case of what's called Mekho Biyado. A person who's Mukhzak is believed to tell us who owns the product, the property that he's, the object that he's Mukhzak on. But here, the Tagor has already sent the delivery to the Koneh, to the Lokeach. The buyer has already received it. Therefore, the middleman here, the retailer, has no right to be believed as one aid in Dini Mamonos. Ah, you'll tell me that maybe the Tagor himself was Zoche in the Mos, and it really is his, and that's through a Kinyan Chotzer. Why does the Mishnah and the Sugi, of course, assume that the Mos, finders, keepers, belong to the Lokeach, belong to Shimon who purchased them? Why not to Shimon? I'm sorry, belong to Levi, I meant to say, who purchased them. Why not say they belong to Shimon through Kinyan Chotzer? That's the Tagor in the middle. And again, we have to activate the principle that we've mentioned before, that Chotzer doesn't work in something that the Baal HaChotzer is totally unaware of. He'll probably never be even become aware of. And furthermore, the Tagor himself knows that things might show up amongst the payros. He doesn't go ahead and look for them. He's just the middleman passing on these payros from so-and-so, we call them Reuven, over to Shimon the buyer. And therefore, he's probably misyayish. You know, he has a general yeyush that anything that might show up is not for me. I'm not even bothering checking that. He's too rushed for all this stuff. Now, if you take a look at Tosus, Divrei HaMaschil Bilokeach, Tosus writes that the Gemara didn't apply a different ukimta here, that maybe the motzei is the tagger himself, and it doesn't say clearly in the Mishnah who actually found these mos. Maybe it was the middleman. And the answer is that since he takes payros from many, many different sellers, he doesn't know from whom he bought these payros. And the Tagor has to divide them up, and he has to say that if he found payros before he mixed in the other payros of other sellers together, you know, maybe he knows he took it from this seller, and therefore he has to return it to that seller. In other words, even though there's a big balagan here with regard to the Tagor, he's got, you know, shipments of fruits coming from different sellers from whom he's buying and selling it on to the Lokech at a profit, nevertheless, he would have to be very careful. He mixes all the pairs together in one tarovis, in one sholent, and he never gets a chance to separate one shipment from the other, then he'll never know to identify the owner and determine whose mos fell in from which payros. If, on the other hand, he was careful to separate, you know, one shipment from the other, then enechinami, the tagor would be obligated to return it to that person whose payros were given to him together with these mos. Omele Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman turns to this chacham, and he asks the following question: V'chi balabayis bi'atzmo doshan? The premise here is that if the balabayis, on a private basis, sells or gives payros to a recipient, then the recipient knows that the mos mixed in with these payros belong to that particular balabayis. How could that be, says Rav Nachman? There are many different activities that go on with regard to the payros until finally the payros are boxed or are packaged into their packages. There are many different paalim, there are ovdim, there are workers, and it's quite possible that one of them may have dropped the mos. So why do you assume that the mos belonged to the balabayis? Amrlei, the Chacham says to Rav Nachman, Isme, should I therefore reject this brisa? You know, the brisos are not always reliable. Maybe this is an unreliable brisa. Amrlei, Rav Nachman says, lo, hold on to this brisa. But to targem, masnisin, kigon shedoshan al yidei avdo v'shivchoso haknanim. When the Braisa qualifies our Mishnah and tells us that in our Mishnah, if the Lokeach purchased these fruits privately from a particular Balabayis, not from the Tagor, then it's Chayav Lahachzir, and the reason why he'd have to be machzer it is because of a situation of avdo v'shivchaso haknanim. Why do we assume that the moos or whatever was found amongst the fruits belongs to the Baal Bayis, to the owner, and you have to return it to him? And that's because the Baal Bayis is employing avodim and shvachos, and kol mashakana eved kana rabo, the yad of the eved is like the yad of the Baal Bayis, and therefore anything that's found belongs to the Baal Bayis. So the threshing and the winnowing and all the other activities that went into creating these final, the packages and baskets of final produce, that those were all implemented by those whose yad, they don't have a separate independent financial ownership property rights, but rather they belong automatically to the Baal Bayis. And in a case of a tagor, when he buys from a Baal Bayis, he has the right to assume that the mocher is misyayish, as we discussed earlier. And this brings us to the next Mishnah. This Mishnah is talking about simonim, and how do we derive the concept of simonim from the Torah? Well, maybe we don't derive from the Torah, and simonim are only derabbanan. The pasuk says in the parasha in Kisetze of Hashavas Aved v'chein tassel chamoro v'chein tassel simloso, and then it goes on to say that shoro v'seo and so forth and so on. There are many different items that are enumerated by the Torah. The first one on the list is simloso, and right after simloso it says l'chol avedas achicha. So the Mishnah asks the obvious question on the Torah itself. Af Hasimla Haisa Bechal Kol Elu. The word simla, the garment, was included in Kol Avedas Achicha V'lama Yotzis. Why did the Torah have to go out of its way to single out simla? Lahakish Eleha, to set up a paradigm for Hashavas Aveda. Lomer Lecha Ma Simla Miuchedesh Yesh Ba Simonim. Number one, a simla garment. Again, this was not mass produced. It was homemade garments. Every garment was produced in its own unique way. So it has a simon. There's an identifying mark. The yeshla tovim. A simla has a bailim, has an owner. It just didn't fly in from hefker, and that bailim are looking and trying to claim ownership on that which was found. Okay, so it's not something that was mina hefker. It came from nature, but rather it was created by man, and there's an owner to this simla. I've called over sheish po simon of yeshlo tovim chayev lachris. You're chayev in the midst of hashava vis-a-vis any object that is like simla and has a distinguishing mark. It has a simon, it has a tovea. Now, if there are no tovim, that implies that there's yeush. No one's going to come to claim this because there was already yeush. And that chiddush of ein lo tovim applies even to a davar sheyesh bo simon, because as we've said time and time again, even in the case of a davar sheyesh bo simon, if the bailim are misyayish, the yayish is chal, and the finder could keep it, and therefore it's ein lo tovim. That's what ein lo tovim means. It means the bailim is yashvu, his yashu, and there was yeush. And if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maschal Af, which is about 10 lines down from the top, it says, L'muti midi diadinon be'demiyayish. And if we know about this object that was lost, that the Bailim were misyayish, they gave up hope, even though it has a simon, and it is dumya de simla in the sense that it has a simon, but it's not dumya de simla in the sense that it has tovim. When does it become dumya de simla? Number one, it has tovim, and it has a simon. In other words, a simla is something that was created by man. It doesn't belong to Hefker. And it has a simon to it. And therefore, there's no yeush. There's tovim. And the tovim is going to come and give you the simon. And therefore, tzorech lahachris. If you have something that's Hefker, or if you have something that was once owned by the Bailim, but then subsequently is misyayish, for example, if it's not Dumya Sim, doesn't have a Simon, then there's no Chiyuv Hashav. The only question we want to raise over here is, let's say, for example, the Bailam was mafkir his simla, and according to Rashi, was saying that there's no tovim, right? That's what Rashi implies when he says, tovim also, Rashi says on the Mishnah, shalo nases el b'deyod v'lo bas min ha-hefker. And in the case of someone who was mafkir a simla, Rashi would seem to imply that that's also considered like bum and a hefker. There's no chiyuv hashava, even though it was made bidei adam. So it's possible that even though it was made bidei adam and it was once owned, but the Bailam subsequently were mafkir it, or they were misyayish. In Tosis, you get the impression that Ein lo tovim is really a result of a nedumi, the simla doesn't have simonim, therefore the Bailam are misyayish. Rashi seems to imply that there may be a separate category here of bas min ahefker, and that's ein lo tovim. And that would be a case of something that fell from heaven, or alternatively, when the Baal himself was mafkirit. Again, to summarize Tosfos, he's saying Dovashem bo simon is something that has no tovim because the Baal are misyayish, they have no way of claiming and proving that it's theirs. In contrast, the Dovash Yeshbo Simon is the Dovash Yeshbo Tovim. There's no Yesh because the Baal will come and be Tovea it and offer it Simon. And therefore he holds out hope that when there'll be a Hachroz, they'll be able to prove and demonstrate that it's his through the Simon. Now, Tosus also goes on to say here that this is the source for Yeush Kone. Notice that the finder of a lost object after Yeush is allowed to keep it for himself, and the Yerushalmi derives this din from Avuda Mimenu Mikol Adam, that you're allowed to take something that's objectively lost. Well, that's a little bit strange, because although it's true that there is a concept of Avuda Mimenu Mikol Adam, but that's derived from Asher Tovad Mimenu. Here we're deriving from Simla a new concept that Yeush is Mafkir Bailus in such a way that the finder is allowed to keep it after Yeush. That's not Avuda Mimenu Mikol Adam. That's not derived from Asher Tovad Mimenu. It's not Avuda Mimenu Mikol Adam. But nevertheless, it's mutter to take it because there's no simon in the Bailim or misyayish, and that's derived from simla. So the halach of yeush in general, I guess we'd have to say, logically, is a derivation from simla. And in truth, one could argue, and this has been brought up by both Rashi and Tosfos, that if something's avuda mimenu mikol adam, that's already hefker. That's not midin yeush. And the unique halachic principle that Yeush is Kona in Aveda, if somebody finds an Aveda after Yeush, that's derived from the equation to Simla, and not from Asher Tovad Mimen. Now, we're up to the Gemara. Mai b'chlal kol elu, omar rav b'chlal kol Aveda sachicha. Rava clarifies that when the Mishnah says we don't need Simla, because Simla would be included in the pasuk is called Avedas Achicha. Fine. That's the way we interpret the Mishnah, and that's Rava. But now, Rava goes on. And as we said before, the pasuk in Parshas Hashavas Avedin in Dvarim Chav Bey says, Lo Sir Eshar Achicha, O Eseo Nidochim. So here the Torah is singling out Shar and Seh. Then it says, V'chein tasel l'chamoro, v'chein tasel l'simloso. And now the Torah is specifying chamor. As far as simloso is concerned, that we used as derivation for simonim. Amar Rava lomali l'michtav l'kosav rachmona shor chamor seves simla. Why not include all of these items, lost objects, that were enumerated by the Torah under kol aveda sachicha tzrichi? We need them. Di kosav rachmona simla. Hava minani mili, be'edim de gufa v'simonim de gufa. If the object itself inherently has a mark on it, such that we can prove that the Bialim lost this object. The Bialim can prove they lost its object. They can bring Edim that saw that this object fell from them, or they can give Simonim, because the object inherently has a Simon. Aval Chamor, what's the Chiddush Chamor? Be Edim Diukaf, a Simonim Diukaf, there's no distinguishing mark on the Chamor, on the animal itself, and if the owner of the Chamor cannot invoke the proof, the testimony of Edim, that this Chamor is his, and the Simon he doesn't have. We assume that even though this Chamor has a saddle on it, and the saddle, the Ukav, can be identified by Edim or by the Ukav, fine, return the saddle to the Bialim based on Edus or Simon, but what about the Chamor itself? Doesn't have an inherent Simon on it. Kosev Rachmana Chamor, what's the Chiddush, the Ribui of Chamori in the Pasuk? Is Dafil Chamor B'Simoni Ukav. In other words, we're going to assume that he who owns the saddle owns the donkey wearing the saddle. In other words, we don't assume that perhaps Reuven borrowed a saddle from Shimon, and although the Chamor belongs to Reuven, the saddle belongs to Shimon. That's the Chiddush of Chamor, that Chamor b'Simoni Ukav. We're going to return the Chamor based on the Simonim of the Ukav. We're not going to assume that the Chamor belongs to somebody, to one person, and the Ukav to someone else. Now the Gemara wants to know, what about Shor v'sedekos v'achmona lomali? Shor, da'afilu l'gizas znovo. There are certain things, especially in the case of animals that grow wool on their backs, a sheep, for example, that would be almost worthless. And you would wonder and question whether or not the Torah would bother with Hashavas Aveda with regard to something that is so insignificant. And that's the case of Gizas Znovo, that there are hairs on the body that go, or wool on the body that goes all the way down to the Zanav, to the, shall we call it, the tail itself. So we're talking about a shor, and a shor is an ox, and you can have shearings that go all the way down to the tail of the ox, and that too has to be returned. And if you look at Rashi, Dibra Maschil Ulegizas, let's read the Rashi inside. Afilu Seir Shebesof Hazonov Yachsir. So that's what we have, Legizas. Now, the Ritva adds a little bit of an embellishing mint here. He says that the Chiddush is that you have to return to its Bialim, if the Bialim identify the Shor, not only the Gufa Shor, but even the Giza, even the shearings, and even those shearings that are not worth a Shova Pruta. We've said many times, there's no Chiv HaShov in less than a Shova Pruta. And the answer is that since the Ikar Aveda, the primary object, has a Shova Pruta, then even those parts, which if you'd identify them and cut them off from the rest of the object, the rest of the animal, they would not have a Shova Pruta. Nevertheless, it's all included in this, in the Shor. So every Giza, even the Giza of the Zonov, which is less than a Shova Pruta, has to be returned with the Shor, and it has a din as if it was worth a Shova Pruta. If you take a look at Tosis, Divya Maschil Legizas, he says, Vim Tomer, Im Yeshba, Shova Pruta, Pshita, Vimemla, Shova Pruta, Mamantina, Lakama, Mia, Shovi, Shomid, Itzrech, Lechaiv, Legozo, Beata, Afal Gavsha, Ainba, Shova Pruta, Bishas, Bishas, Gozza. Tosis is learning that this halacha that's derived from Shor is relevant to the obligation of the motzi vis-a-vis the ma'abed. And his obligation is to take care of the object that was lost, in this case the ox that was lost, so that he could return it in its full capacity, its full value. And we're talking about a zman aroy legozza. The Tosfos says chayav legozza beita. There's a certain time period which is the time for giza. And even though at the moment of gziza, he's cutting off certain parts of the growings on the animal's back, or in this case the tail, which are not worth the shava pruta, but nevertheless that's necessary for the benefit of the animal. And that's the chiddush here of according to Tosfos, of this pasuk of shava. Tosfos may be adding something very important to the Ritva. According to the Ritva, let's say subsequent to finding this shor, the giza grew. Why would the finder be chayev in ashova on that extra giza that grew on the tail of the shor, which is worth less than the shava pruta? But Tosfos is learning that the chiyuv ashovas aveda is an ongoing chiyuv. He's got to return to the baal aveda, the entire aveda. And in the note here on this Tosfos, there's a tzlach that's being quoted. There's also Chidush Agrir. There's a lot of literature on this little, seemingly innocuous Tosfos Legizas Novo. And where exactly is Tosfos disagreeing with the Ritva? Where does and when does Tosfos say that Yechayev and Ashava on this Giza of Pachas Bishava Pruta? According to the note of Yehuda, for example, it'll grow back. And even though it's a small amount of Giza in the Zonov, in the tail, but after it grows back a few times and you add together all these gizos and you clump them together, you'll have a shava pruta. The Chidush Agrir has another discussion here about, as I indicated before, that if the giza itself is not a shava pruta when he found it, then he would be chayav in Ashova, but if it grew later, maybe he wouldn't be chayav in Ashova. Anyway, there are quite a few different nuances, but we'll leave it for now. At this point, what we're doing is the following. We want to know what seh is all about. V'seh. Why did the Torah have to add the word seh, which indicates some sort of a lamb, and legizosov? Rava says it's coming to teach you the shearings off this lamb, but that doesn't make sense. V'lichtov rachmona shor. We've just had shor, dafilu legizas novo, even something so insignificant as the shearings off its tail. The kolshkein sel legizosov. I mean, in the case of the lamb, we're talking about the main shearings of the lamb. Why do I need a pasuk seh? It seems to be totally unnecessary. Elomar Rava, the Rava reinterprets now. Chamor debar le Rabbi Yehuda veseh de aveda le divrei kol kasha. Rava says that there are two words in the Torah. One is chamor in the parsha of bar, and the other is shor is seh here in the parsha of hashavas aveda. These two words, we simply don't know why the Torah had to add them. There doesn't seem to be any halachic derivation and iribui from these words. In the case of bar, the Torah says ki ichtach ish bar ki ichtach ish bar v'lo yisad v'nofal shama shar o chamar, and chamar is coming to exclude kalim, but Rabbi Yehuda holds that yechayev on kalim based on the word o. So then we're left with the question, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do we need the word chamar? And that's an unanswered question. Here in Aveda we have the extra word seh, because anything we had to learn, we had to derive, we could derive from shor, and that seh remains an outstanding question. We don't know, says Rava, why the Torah added the word seh. And, you get the impression that anytime someone is going to argue with Rava and say, well, we need seh for X, Rava's going to slam them down, because Rava's convinced that kasha, we don't know why the Torah added the word seh. The Amal Aglolim Hudiyasa, maybe the Torah added said to teach us that even the excrements of the animal also have to be returned, because those could be used presumably as fertilizer. And the Gemara says, no, that can't be. Rava rejects that because Gololim Afkuri Mafkaluhu, the Baal HaSeh will certainly completely renounce any ownership over the Gololim. And the reason for that is because he's not going to start collecting Gololim from every single excrement, every Seh, every time it comes out of the Seh in order to make fertilizer. It's not worth the effort. And therefore, the Baal, the owner of the Seh, will automatically make the Gololim Hefker, so that anyone who finds can keep the Gololim. If the Motzi put out his effort to return the Seh, then the owner of the Seh is not going to expect him and not going to demand from him that he put out all this effort to collect the Gololim until he finds the owner. And therefore it becomes an object that ain't lo tovim, it's hefker, there's no chiv hashava. V'dilma l'simonim hu d'yosem, maybe the special ribui of Seh is to tell us that if the owner of the Seh has no testimony, has no witnesses to prove that he lost this Seh, but at least he can identify the Seh by its simonim. D'boilon, we have a suffix later on in this Gemara, simonim d'oraisa d'rabbonon. His Kosar Rachmanis said, "Afilu b'simonim adrinon b'simonim d'oraisa." Perhaps, and this is what the Gemara is suggesting for Rava, the word "seh" here is a very important word, and it's coming to teach you simonim. Again, we'll soon see that we already derive simonim from similar, but in any event, within the context of this line in the Gemara, this one thought in the development of the sugya, the Gemara believes that perhaps says coming to establish that simonim are indeed the oraisa. If you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maschil simonim, Rashi says Lashmina deli dure be simonim below edim. To come boil the command simonim d'oraisa d'rabbanu be'inon lemifshat mimasnisin d'yoliflus misimlov d'achinon v'omertana. Tovim itzrich le simonim kedil naspa nisha mikra yisera deseh le simonim also the simonim d'oraisa. The Gemara is going to reject the derivation of simonim d'oraisa from simla, because maybe simla is coming to tell you that you need tovim, but it doesn't tell you that you can rely on simonim, and that's called kedil naspa, which we'll get to soon. And therefore, the Torah added the word seh to establish simonim. Amri, the Gemara answers, no. Midik toni lu tana l'simonim gabi simla. Since the Tana has already mentioned simonim with regard to simla the ketoni, ma simla yuchedesh yesh po simonim yesh po tovim chayv lachus. Av kol dor yesh po simonim yesh lo tovim chayv lachus. Shma mino desel lav l'simonim hu diosa. Meaning that if you maintain that simonim are derais, and you derive simonim from simla, then we don't need set to teach me simonim. Our Mishnah reflects that shita that simonim are deraisa, and the pasuk of simla is not just coming to tell me yesh la tovim, and as Rashi uses the language that simonim are kedinasko, no. Our Mishnah clearly indicates that simonim is not kedinasba, and the pasuk of simla is coming to teach me simonim, which means that simonim are deraisa, and according to that Mandi Omer, you cannot tell me that Seh is l'simonim u'diyasa, because we already derived it from Simla. The Rashi, Dibra Maskel Amri b'nano ketana b'mastisin l'melev simonim y'simla pahadi tovim pshitale de Seh l'mil sachrita asa. Our Mishnah was absolutely convinced, the Tanav HaMishnah, that Seh is coming to teach us something else. V'anan hu d'lo yadinu, we don't know what that Seh is. And it remains an outstanding question, says Rava. The Gemara never accepts that the word "seh" is coming to teach us simonim, because obviously the Tanav HaMishnah is not going to use the word "seh" for simonim. And Hilkach Kashalon Lemai Osa. Obviously, the Tana wanted to save and designate "seh" for some other derivation, but we don't know what that is. And therefore, says Rava, it remains a kasha, it remains an outstanding question, and we'll never really figure that out. Now, Tana Rabbanan, we have a braisa that deals with what's called an aveda she'ein ba shava pruta, which we've mentioned in the past, but now we find the source for that in the parsha Tanur Rabban, in the parsha of aveda, it says asher tovad mimenu umitzasa. What do we learn from these words? And they're going to be various shitas in the Tanoim as to which derivation we should derive from which words. Asher tovad, the chiv hashava only applies to something that's called an aveda. What is the Torah coming to emphasize here? Prat la aveda she'ein ba shava pruta. That's not called an aveda in the, shall we say, in the classical sense. Rashi says that if it's not a shava pruta, it's not called an aveda in a kriya. Aveda, the Ritva adds, it's not mimenu, meaning it's not something that he's lost. You know, the Torah goes out of his way that he lost it. It was lost to him. It wasn't lost to him if it's not worth a pruta. Of course, later on, the Gemara is going to emphasize that the mimenu is coming to teach me a different din. So according to the Ritva here in the Braisa, it's very difficult to assume that the derivation of Ein Bo Shava Pruta is from mimenu, but rather it makes more sense to derive from Asher Tovad. And the Ritva is going to suggest that we're going to derive from mimenu two things. Number one, that it's got to be something that's considered a loss for him. He lost the Shava Pruta. Number two, it was lost from him, but it's not objectively lost. It's not a Avudu Menu Kol Adam. We'll see this down the line. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Umitzasa. In other words, don't derive the halach of Ein Bo Shava Pruta from Asher Tovad, but rather derive from the word Umitzasa, which means that you found something that's called a mitzia, and a mitzia generates a chiyuv hashava. Something that's not a mitzia is not a chiyuv does not generate a chiyuv hashava. And Rashi again uses the phrase shetehei kruya mitzia. Before we had shetehei kruya aveda, now we have shetehei kruya mitzia. Prat la aveda shein ba shava pruta, that's not considered a mitzia. The Ritva is not so happy with this pshat of Rashi, and he writes, "Hello, lashon umitzasav chen lashon tovad mashal of rabos kol aved v'chol mitzia." How could Rashi use words like asher tovad and umitzasa as a miut? It's mashma ribui, and therefore he says the Ritva that kidei l'rabos pachos mishav v'pruta ein tzarich pasuk. You don't need a pasuk to include pachos mishava pruta. So if we're learning these words and this verse as a ribui, I would not need or justify a ribui of pachos mishava pruta, because we already know from kol aveda sachich to include a pachos mishava pruta, and therefore there's no question that these words are coming as a miut in the aftermath, you know, on the footsteps of kol aveda sachicha. Then umitzasa or asher tovad are coming as miutim. Now there's an achronim about this machlokes achronim about this din that you're not obligated to return an aveda that's worth less than a shava pruta. Does that mean that it's just not his? And does that mean that it's just not chayv and hashava, but it doesn't mean that the finder can keep it for himself? The original owner still owns it. Or are we saying even further than that, that you don't, the reason why you don't have to return a pachos mishava pruta is because you can be zo, the finder can keep it. Finder can keep it for himself. And if you look in the tour, he says, "Imotza pachos mishava pruta hare elu shalo." That's a kosher mishpat reish samach beis, clearly indicating that you can acquire ownership on it because it's less than shava pruta. Machna Frayim, on the other hand, we discussed this in last year. He understands that asher tovad menu prat lepachos mishava pruta is only a ptur in chiyav hashava, but it still belongs to the owner, and therefore the finder is not allowed to keep it for himself, even though it's pachos mishava pruta. The Gemara asks, "My beinayu." Oh, So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, U'mitzasa prat la'aveda she'en bo shel v'put. So what's the difference now? The Gemara wants to know, my b'nai, between the Tanakhama who says it doesn't have a shame aveda, and Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't have a shame mitzia. Omer Abaye mashmoz darshin ikubinei. Mar nafkale mi asher tovad, umar nafkale mi umitzos. There's no machlokas here of any halachic substance, according to Abaye, between Chachom and Rabbi Yehuda. They're just trying to derive a halacha which is accepted according to all shittas, but from where do we derive? From whence do we derive? Tanakhama wants to derive from asher tovad, and Rabbi Yehuda wants to derive from umitzos. The Gemara says, wait a minute, are you telling me that there's no difference between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda? Let's just see how this all plays out. Uleman de Nafkale, according to Tanakhama, who derives the exception, the exclusion of Aveda Pokus Shaputa from Asher, Me Asher Tovad, so there could be repercussions to this machlokas down the line. Don't just assume up front that it's only mashmoz dorshim ikabeinayu. Because what are we going to do with the word umetzasa according to the Tanakhama? He can't just leave it as a superfluous word. Hahumi boile lichid ravnai. The Omer Ravnai. Now, Ravnai is going back to the parsha of Hashavas Aveda. Again, as we said earlier, in the parsha from Chav Beis, V'chein Taseh L'chol Avedas Achicha Shetov V'mena Mitzos L'Suchah L'Salem, and it says Avedas Achicha, and then it says U'mitzosa. Avedas Achicha clearly excludes the case of an object that belongs to a guy. So you're holding on to an object, the guy claims ownership, he proves his ownership, you're not chayev in Hashavah. And what is umitzasa coming to tell me? Da'asoy liyadei mash. Mitzasa means he's already grabbed it into his hands. And the finder, now that he has it in his hands, you might think, should have to return it even to a guy. But the Torah combines avedas achicha asher tov v'mena umitzasa to tell you that umitzasa means when he took it into his hand, it's got to be an avedas achicha. If he took it into his hand and it belongs to a guy, then the Torah is telling me that you're not chayev in hashava. So it means not only, again, if we only had aves achicha, not only would it mean that you don't have to run around and find the owner if it belongs to a guy, and therefore, you know, just leave it as is. But if you decide to pick up this Aveda, maybe there's a Havamin to say that even if it belongs to a guy, Yechayv and Hashava, no. Even if the Chafetz was a Yigia Liyado, which is defined, indicated by the word Umitzas in the Torah, nevertheless, he doesn't have to return the Aveda to the guy. So the Aveda Sachicha and the Umitzasa go together. And the Umitzasa is coming to embellish or shed a light on call avedas achicha, that if this object that was lost belongs to a guy and it's not avedas achicha, then even in mitzos, even though you took it up into your hands, you still remain potter from hashavas aveda. So you have an object which belongs to a guy, and the aveda you might think is not yours; it belongs to a guy. Kamash malon, no. That you are potter from Hashavas Aveda even after you took it into your hands. The Bach is of the opinion that you, the Jew, cannot acquire ownership over this Aveda. It doesn't. All the Torah is telling me is that you don't have to run after the Bailim and try to locate the owner. But the Or Sameach says that if the guy comes along and he wants to collect his object, then since, according to the Bach, the object actually belongs to the guy, that was the Bach's Kiddush, the Aveda, you know, it doesn't mean the Aveda now becomes like Hefker, and you can pick it up and take it for yourself, but rather, it belongs to the goy. You're not chayev in all the, you know, the headache and the tircha and all the trimmings, the trimmings of our Shavas Aveda. But if the Bailim come knocking on your door to retrieve that which is rightfully theirs, you're not allowed to keep it for yourself. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger is totally against this view that is presented here by the Arsameach. He's of the opinion that the finder is allowed to keep it for himself. And that is derived from the pasuk, Avedas Achicha U'mitzasa. So not only are you parted from the Tirch of Hashavas Aveda, but even if it's in your hands, you can keep it for yourself. That's according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, not according to the Bach, nor the Or Sameach. Ulaman de Nafkalon, Nafkale mi mitzasa, is Hayesh and Tovid my Ovid Bey. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he needs mitzasa to teach me an Aveda She'ein Boshav Pruta. So therefore, the mitzasa doesn't teach me anything about Avedas Goy. And then, not only that, we'll come back to that a little bit later, but the Gemara wants to first know, what do you do with Asher Tovad? I mean, according to Chachamim, the Asher Tovad, the Aveda, tells me it's got to be Shavu Pruta. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Metzia tells me it's got to be Shavu Pruta. So what do I do with the Aveda? Mi boile lichet Rabbi Yochanan. And this is going to be the case of Asher Tovad, meaning it's lost from you, but everyone else has access to it. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimba Yochai Minayin La Veda Sheshotfa Sheshtofa Nor Sheimu Teres Shenemar Kein Tasel Chavidas Achicha Shetovad Mimenu Mitzasa Mi Shavuda Mimenu Mitzuya Itzel Adam Yotzesa Zu Shavuda Mimenu Vieina Mitzuya Itzel Kol Adam. So again, let's just go over the last question of the Gemara. Leman did nafkali according to Rabbi Yehuda, who derives me umitzasa. The case of Aveda Shenish of approved exclusion is Hayashar Tovad my Avidle. What does he do with the Asher Tovad? If he learns from the Tzia, what does he do with the Aveda? And the Gemara answers me boyle Rabbi Yochdom Rabbi Yoch Mishum Rabbi Shimba Chaminai La Aveda Shot Fanar. We're talking about an Aveda that's Avudu Minim and Kol Adam, was washed out to the sea, Shimu Teres, the finder is allowed to keep it for himself, Shedemar Keita Silicha Aveda Sachir Shetovi Menu Umitzasa. So the emphasis here is on the Aveda. It's got to be Tovad Mi Menu, Mishavudu He Menu, but Mitsuya Tzokol Adam, it's lost from him, but it's accessible to everyone else. Yotzazu Shavudu He Menu Vienu Mitsuya Tzokol Adam. No one could have access to it. It's on the bottom of the sea. And Rashi, elsewhere in Bava Kama, understands that Avudim and Kol Adam is Mutami Din Yeush. The assumption is the Bailim are Misyayish. And again, even if the Bailim are yelling and screaming, we say no. But La Daitel So Kol Adam. But other Rishonim, not Rashi, would, and the Rambam also indicates like Rashi, but not Rashi in the Rambam. The Ramban, for example, disagrees with Rashi right here, and he says that it's not the heter's midin yeush. In fact, the Bailam don't even know that the waters of this river have washed away his object, and it's on the bottom of the riverbed. It's yeush shalomidas, which is not yeush, but really the heter is because the Torah itself was mafkir something which was avuda mimenu umikol adam. So that's the machlokes between Rashi the Rambam on one end and the Ramban on the other hand. So now the Gemara asks v'idach. Now Rabbi Yehuda is going to use Aveda to exclude Avudim and Kol Adam. He's going to use Metzia to exclude Pachas Mishava Pruta. Is Hadar Avnai Minoli? How is he going to know the din that if you have picked up an Aveda which belongs to a guy, that you are potur? The Pnei Yeshua is not happy with this kasha. Why couldn't the Gemara just answer simply that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Gzelas Akumuteres, and that's a sugi later on at Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, and therefore he doesn't need a pasuk to tell you you're allowed to take and pocket the Aveda of a guy. And on this question, Rabbi Kiveger offers an answer that you still need a pasuk for the case where the chefetz of a guy was deposited in the hands of a Yisrael. The Yisrael was the nifkad, he was the shomer, and it was lost from the Yisrael. In such a case, if the finder locates this object, he should certainly have to return it to the Yisrael, to the shomer, because if he doesn't do so, the Yisrael is going to have to pay the guy who is mafkid in his rishus, and therefore in such a case there's no heter for the Yisrael who finds it to take it for himself. And the heter of Gezalaka would not apply in this case because he's being mafsid to Yisrael. Nevertheless, since in the parasha of Aveda we derive from Aveda Sachicha that an object as a guy does not require a shava, so here in this case, even though the Jew is going to lose, the Jewish shomer, nevertheless, even if Akum is muta, you would have to return it to him under the laws of Aveda, and therefore we need a special mute under the parish of Aveda for Aveda's guy. So once again, Rabbi Kiveger comes up with a scenario where the exclusion of guy's property from Gzela would not necessarily exclude that property from Hashavas Aveda, because Hashavas Aveda depends not on the Gezel Akum element, but on who's going to lose by it. And here we have a special hafka, a special miut in the parasha of Aveda that's going to tell you that even in this case where the Yisrael, who's the Nifkat, is going to suffer loss, nevertheless, you found an Aveda's guy, you're allowed to keep it for yourself. And now the Gemara wants to know, how does Rabbi Yehuda derive this halacha of Aveda's guy? Nafkalei mi umitzos, from the extra vav of umitzos. So that vav connects the achicha to the exclusion of a guy with umitzasa, that even if it came into your hands, you're still allowed to keep it because of the link back to Avedas achicha. The idach, now we go back to the Tanakhama, he derives from Aveda, Asher Tovad, the exclusion of Shava, Ein Bo Shava Pruta. So Hadar Rabbi Yochanan bin Oli, how does he know to be matur in Aveda that's Avuda Mimenu? Umi kol adam nafkale mi menu. He derives from the pasuk mi menu. So it means that asher tovad is going to exclude pachs mishav pruta, and mi menu is going to exclude avuda mi menu umi kol adam, and the kol avedas achicha umitzasa is going to exclude an Avedas guy even after the Israel picked up the Aveda. Now the Gemara says, V'idach, what does Rabbi Yehuda do? How does he derive the halacha of Asher? In other words, since Rabbi Yehuda derives the din of Aveda Shedesh Shavu Pruta from Mitzia, from Mitzasa, according to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, why did the Torah have to say Asher Tovad? After all, the din of avudim mimenu kol adam, he could derive lechor from the word mimenu. So why did the Torah have to say asher tovad and then mimenu? And the answer is mimenu lo mashmale. He doesn't have the drush of mimenu, which the chacham had to exclude avudim mimenu mikol adam, and therefore he needs asher tovad mimenu to exclude, as Rabbi Yochanan did, avudim mimenu umikol adam. So all this is based on the premise that Abaye laid down here, that Mashkol's Darshini Kameinayu. And in effect, we don't come up with any din which is dependent upon this plukta, on this machlokas. Rav Amar, Rav says there is an afkamina, there is a din that they're arguing about Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. There is an afkamina, and it's not just Mashmos Hakra, it's not just Mashmos Darshim Ikabeinayu. Rav Amar Pruta Shehuzla Ikabeinayu. Again, we're going to see cases where the object that was lost went up in value or it went down in value. We're starting with the case where it went down in value, which means that if the Aveda was worth a pruta at the time it was lost, but at the time it was found, it was already worth less than a pruta. What's koveya now, this hafka and this heter of enosh of pox mishav pruta, is it the shas avedor or is it the shas mitzia? Lemandia, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he derives the be'asher tovad ika, it was worth the shav pruta at the time of the aveda, and the aveda itself is machai of the mitzvah shava, and therefore there's a chiy of hashava that's set in stone from the moment of the aveda on a shav pruta. The fact that it later went down in value doesn't change anything. Umandi omer mitzasa, but according to the shita, I apologize, I may have gotten mixed up in the names. Again, the first man, the Yomu, says it depends upon the Shas Aveda, that's the Tanakama. Correct, now I got it right. Because he derives the exclusion of Pox Bisham Futa from Asher Tovad, and since at the time of the Aveda it was worth a Shava Pruta in this case, therefore he's Chayev, but according to Lamanti Yomer, meaning Rabbi Yehudu, derives the exclusion of Pox Visham Pruta from Umitzas from Mitzia, at the time that Shimon picked up this object that was lost by Reuven, at that moment it was less than a Shava Pruta, that's called Huzla, it went down in value, depreciated. Therefore, Shimon is not Chayev, there's no Mitzas of Mitzia to generate the mitzvah of Hashavas Abeda, because it's not Ain't a Kriya Mitzia, as we saw in Rashi. It doesn't have the status of a Mitzia if it's less than a Shava Pruta. Ulamand, the Gemara is not happy with this. Gemara says, Ulamand Yom HaShe Tovad, even if I go back to the Tanakama, Habi'inanu Mitzasa, the Tanakama is not excluding the second condition. The first condition is Aveda, so it's got to be Shav Pruta B'Shas Aveda, but there's also Umitzasa, Veleka. He's got, obviously, the Chiyuv befall, and it's in potential, the Chiyuv is set in stone by the Aveda, the Shas Aveda, but until Shimon actually picks it up, takes it into his hands, he's not Chayiv in Hashava, so obviously the Umitzasa is not to be ignored, it's part of the Machayiv. And since it's not worth the Shava Pruta at the time that he found it, how is it possible that according to the Tanakami Bichayev in Ashava, therefore the Gemara rejects this possibility? Ella, but rather Pruta Shahukra Ikabinai. Let's flip it around the other way. The object that was lost went up in value. And that's going to be the Nafkamin between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda at the time of the Aveda. It was not worth the Shava Pruta. Then it went up in value. Mandiyam, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we exclude Einba Shava Pruta from the word Umitzasa Ika. When he found it, it was worth the Shava Pruta. Umandiyam Asher Tovad, but if according to the Tanakama, you need, in order to generate a Chiyuv HaShava, you need an Aveda, and this Aveda was an Aveda of Pachos Mishova, to a Leka there's no Chiyuv HaShava, since the Aveda was not worth a Shava Pruta at the time it was lost by its owner. The Gemara is not happy with that either. Uleman Diomar Mitzasa, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who excludes less than a Shava Pruta from Mitzia, Habinan Asher Tovad, he doesn't deny that part and parcel of the Machayev here is the Aveda. Velekan, at the time of the Aveda, it wasn't worth of Shava Pruta. So the Gemara clearly understands that Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Tanakama, Bein Bishas Aveda, Bein Bishas Mitzia, you must have a Shava Pruta. That the Machayev of Ashavas Aveda is a combination, integration of two moments in time. The moment of Aveda and the moment of Mitzia. Now the Gemara is going to investigate, but what happens if there was a change in the value of the object somewhere between time T1 and time T2, between the Shas HaVeda and the Shas Mitzia? Ella says the Gemara, Pruta, Shahukra v'huzla v'chazer v'hukra ika b'nai, so it was worth a Shav Pruta at the time of the Aveda. It went down in value, went again up in value at the time of the Mitzia. So you have the two critical machayvim that we said everybody agrees to. T1 and T2, you had a Shava Pruta at the time of the Aveda and at the time of Mitzia, but it went down in value somewhere in betwixt. Says the Gemara, Man Diyomar, let's analyze this according to the Tanakama, who excludes Aveda Shem Shava Pruta Miyasha Tovad, because what was lost was not a Shava Pruta, was not a Shem, Ain't a Kriya Aveda Ika. Here, it was an Aveda when it was lost. Ah, you'll tell me, there's no Chiyuv HaShava because it went down in value? The answer is at the time of the Mitziah, which is the secondary Machayev, it was worth a Shavu Pruta. And therefore he's Chayev. Ulamandi over to coin to Rabbi Yehuda, who excludes Aveda Shavu Pruta from Umitzasa, meaning Mitziah, is Be'ina de Ispe Shir Mitziah, Mishas Aveda, the Ad Shas Mitziah. The Gemara analyzes that the requirement of Shavu Pruta, as it's derived from Mitziah, means that, again, because we're not undermining the Shas Aveda, but it's got to be a Shavu Pruta's worth from the time of the Aveda and straight through until the time of Mitziah. Here it went down in the middle, and therefore you're potter from Hashavas Aveda. Notice Rabbi Yehuda requires a tziruf between the Mitziah and the Aveda. The Mitzarev that takes you back to the Aveda is that period of time between the Aveda and the Mitziah. If in that Mitzarev there was a less than a Shavu Pruta, he cannot relate the Mitziah back to the Shas Aveda. The huzla in between breaks up the tziruf between Aveda and Mitziah, and therefore going to Rabbi Yehuda, in such a case, we'd be parted from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Rabbi Kivega works very hard on the hafmin of the Gemara that if it went down in value at some point, and then it went up in value, there's a possibility that there would be a chiv Hashavas Aveda, because hukra, and that would be, according to the Man D'Yomar, Rabbi Yehudu says, Umitzasa, since it went up in value, and at the time it was worth Hashavi, he doesn't understand, but once it went down below a Shavu Pruta, there's got to be, says Rabbi Kivega, an assumption, a premise of Yeush. In other words, just like in a Dover Shembo Simon this Yeush, so too in a Dover Shavu Pachos Mi Shavu Pruta, and the owner knows very well that if somebody finds it at that point in time, he's not going to have to return it. It's less than a Shavu Pruta, because Umitzasa means he's got to find the Shavu Pruta. He found something that's less than a Shavu Pruta. Then at that very moment that it went down below the value of a Pruta, he was certainly Misyayish. And Rabbi Kivega has to set up the entire Sugya as a case of an Aveda that when up in value before the Bailam even knew that it was lost, and so that there was never a moment of Yeush, and therefore we could be mechayev him in Hashavas Aveda because at the time of the Mitziah it was worth a Shavu Pruta. The Ritva points out that Dafka Rabbi Yehuda is going to need that Siruf from Shas Mitziah all the way backwards in time to the Shas Aveda, because he derives it from the Vav. And that Vav is setting up that Siruf between Shas Aved and Shas Mitziah. Here it went down in the interim between Shas Aved and Shas Mitziah. At that point, the Ptur is Chal, because you can never go back from Shas Mitziah in a time machine back to the Shas Aved. Iboilahu, the Gemara now is the big suffix that we've been waiting for. Simonim Doraisa Odrabonon. What's the status of Simonim? Is it something that the Torah validates, the Torah recognizes, or it's something that was created by the Chachamim? And here I'd like to present to you the insights of the Pnei Yoshua and the Ketzos, but first let's just see the next few lines of the Gemara. Mainafkin Mina, what's the difference whether you call Simonim Doraisa Drabonon? And here on the top of Chav Zayin Amid Beis Ladure, Get Isha B'Simonim. If the Shliach brings a get and he lost it, and now he wants to reclaim it by giving Simonim, the Nafkin Mina is he gives it to the Isha, and he's being Matur Neshesish Doraisa, Nisa Doraisa Veshesish, and Isa Erva, Iyamit Doraisa Badrin. If the Torah recognizes Simonim, then you could return this get to the Shliach, who claims the get was his, and he lost it by virtue of Simonim. The Torah recognized Simonim. But if the Torah doesn't recognize the validity and the evidence of a Simon, it's only the Rabbanon, ki Ovid Rabbanon takanto b'mamona. I will be suralo Ovid Rabbanon takanto. The Takoras Chachomim is to be maxed on Aveda b'Simonim, that's the Dimominus, but not to be matur neshes ish. That far the Chachomim would not go. The Pnei Yoshua wonders, what is the reason, according to the Sfar Darabonon, that the Torah doesn't recognize Simonim? Is it because perhaps there's another object in this world that has the same siman, or is it because perhaps somebody saw, even though he's not the rightful owner of the object, he saw the object, he examined it carefully, he's aware of its siman, and he's a no good liar. And he puts forward these simanim even though it's not his. And he says the nafkamina is going to be for the sugya later on about simanim muvhakim. And the Gemara wants to claim that even if simanim lav doraisa, but in the case of simanim doraisa, it is doraisa. That makes sense if the reason for simanim is because maybe there's another chefetz somewhere in the veld that has the same identical simanim. That's hard to believe in the case of a simanim muvhak. That's too far-fetched. But if you want to say that maybe someone else had the object in his possession at some point, he borrowed it, he lent it, he stole it, I don't know what, and he carefully examined the object and he was aware of the unique identifying marks of the object, then even a siman muvhak would not solve your problem. And from the fact that the Gemara differentiates between a siman muvhak and a siman she'ena muvhak, you must assume that the reason for simanim derabanan and the reason why the Torah rejects simanim is not because of a chashash sheker, that maybe he saw it, but because of the chashash that maybe there's another object on the face of the earth that has the same siman, and that, you know, that probability drops enormously in the case of a siman muvhak. The Ktzos has an analysis of the Ramban. The Ramban is not here, but in Chulin, and the Gemara talks about the sugya of kelayim, and there are certain simanim to determine whether a certain preda, a certain kind of mixture of a donkey and another animal, might actually be kelayim. And he wants to differentiate between that sugya and our sugya of simanim doraisa or not. Because there, in the case of simanei preda, as far as kelayim is concerned, apparently, even if I assume simanei aveda lav doraisa, nevertheless, these simanim, in the question of safek kelayim, are doraisa. And what's the logical difference between the two? In the case of Aveda, where there's a chashash meshaker, then we question the validity of simanim. But in the case of kashrus, of preda and kilayim, there we're not dealing with an issue of chashash sheker, and therefore we can rely on simanim. The Ramban writes, clearly says the Ktzos, in his analysis and reconciliation between our sugya of simanim derabanan and the sugya in Chulin of kelayim as simanim doraisa, that the reason for simanim derabanan and not doraisa is because of chashash sheker, and that's antithetical to the Pnei Yeshua's analysis. And according to the Ktzos's understanding of the Ramban, we're going to be left with the problem of how do we differentiate between a simon muvok and a simon she'eno muvok. Why does the chashash sheker get completely removed in the case of a simon muvok? After all, you worry about someone who illegitimately is putting forth this simon because he knows about the object, he's seen the object. So what difference does it make if it's muvok or ain't a muvok? And how do we understand that sugya? The Ran has a different problem. He wants to know how can you even postulate the possibility of simanim lav doraisa, because if that be the case, why is there a chiyuv min haTorah on the part of someone who finds an aveda to return an aveda? If simanim lav doraisa, then there's certainly going to be an assumption of yeush. The only reason there's hope, the only reason why the bailim hold out for some hope, is because they can give a siman to identify their object. And the answer is, says the Ran, that if there are simanim, then it's going to be a lot easier to find edim. You know, he's going to ask around, and does anybody know to testify that an object with this and this siman was lost from my, you know, from my house, my herd of animals, and so forth and so on. So he's going to find edim with the simanim, and therefore he's not going to be misyayish. So even if you hold simanim lav doraisa, nevertheless, simanim are very significant, in order to prevent the Bailim from being Messiah-ish. He's not going to be able to prove his ownership based on the Simon, but he'll be able to invite and attract Edim. He'll be able to acquire his object back through Edim. He's going to need the Simonim to help him, you know, announce and get Edim to come forward, and therefore there's a mitzvah Hashavas Avedim, and there's no Yesh. The Gemara now, at this point, is going to begin an analysis of our Mishnah and try to derive from our Mishnah, one way or the other, whether Simonim are Doraisa or Drabanan. And that begins with the fourth line on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Toshma, which Mirtz Hashem will pick up in the next year.